You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of the Doing the Work podcast, as tonight we discuss some new activity for the IU women's basketball team. I'm your host, Kathy Amos, and I'm joined with my co-host, Jeff Marlowe, and today we're here for another episode of Doing the Work. So today what we have for you is, excuse me, we'll catch you up on some news because it's been a while since Jeff and I have had a show. So we've had quite a lot of news coming out about IU women's basketball. And then we will discuss actually the incoming freshmen that we have. We have four incoming freshmen. So we're going to take a look at what we know about them and what we think might come of them. Finally, if there's time, we did get some answers or questions from our audience and our private community. So we'll try to answer some of your questions. So, but as we do on most of our shows, we are going to start with our banner moment. And today, our banner moment occurred back on May 20th. This was when Allie Papper was named the team and recruiting coordinator. This came shortly after Jordan Hulls was named to the same position on the men's side of the team. It is great to have Allie to come and stay home with us and help keep guiding the program into the future the way she has the past few years. We know that it's going to be in great hands, and we think this really bodes well for the program to keep things in-house. And Allie, I think, has always talked about wanting a coaching career, and hopefully this will be her first platform into that arena. So that is our banner moment for today. And as always, our banner moment is sponsored by Home Field Apparel. They're the sponsoring member of the Back Home Network. And did you know, speaking of Allie Papberg, they still have Allie Papberg shirts available. So just go to homefieldapparel.com and search for Allie, and you can find that t-shirt that will help support her as well. Of course, if you, for some reason, support other college teams or have other people in your life, Home Field probably has something for them, too. They have over 120 different new schools, and they've been dropping them left and right, it seems like, here recently as well. So if you can't find your school there, then just keep trying back. I'm sure that they'll have them eventually. And even better, if you haven't shopped with them before, you can use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. And again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. Okay, so I'll quickly just give a quick brief, Jeff, about the other headlines that we've had since our last podcast. And I'll pause and let you give a thought on any or all of those that you want. So we talked about Allie Papberg on May 20th, but way back on May 9th as well, Coach Morin was named the assistant coach to the FIBA America U18 Championships team. On May 27th, Alexa Golbe was picked up by the Salamanca club, which is out of Spain. And then we also picked up two class of 2023 recruits. Both of these recruits are ESPN top 100 and are considered four stars. So back on April 14th, we picked up Lene Beaumont from Binet Academy in Lyle, Illinois. And on May 19th, we have a commitment from Juliana Lay Mandola, a 6'1 guard from Texas who committed to the Hoosiers. So Jeff, would you like to talk about on your mind today with those headlines?
Well, I'll just kind of take one at a time here, Kathy. I think that obviously for Coach Morin to be selected to one of the national team coaching staff, I think that speaks well of what the national coaching fraternity, sorority, whichever term I should use here with the women, thinks of Coach Morin and the job she's doing here at Indiana. And so that's a big honor. In the future, you might see her actually being the head coach of one of those types of national teams, whether it's a U18, a U20, something like that. And just really happy for Alexa. We kind of thought that was what her whole plan was when we first found out she wasn't coming back for her COVID year. And having talked with Grace a little bit, just about Alexa's experience, not about what after the season, but Alexa's experience kind of before she came to the United States to play at IU, she had been used to playing in kind of that European atmosphere. So I was not real shocked to see her back there. I was maybe a little surprised by Spain, I guess, because I thought maybe she'd want to get back a little closer toward Eastern Europe and Latvia, where she was from. Yeah. But I think anytime you're going to get paid to play, and in Spain is a real hotbed, not just for basketball, but women's basketball, especially. I was looking, just happened as we were getting ready for today's show, tonight's show to talk about some of our international recruits. Spain is well regarded in the European ranks. Now, obviously, Alexa won't play for Spain, but I think that's good for her to go play in a league like that. And then Beaumont and Lamandola are two really good gets, in my opinion. Four stars. I know everybody gets caught up in the stars, and trust me, five stars are nice to get. But I think this program really is built around solid four stars that can come in, play a role. And I shouldn't say play a role, but fit into the program and understand that they're going to be expected to play defense, at least in this program that Terry Morin has built so far.
Yeah, I agree. And Spain is awesome. I know you just went there earlier this year, and I went a few years ago, and it's been one of my favorite countries. So maybe I'll have to talk my husband and plan another trip, and we can try to pick a city where Alexa is going to be playing and combine that. So yeah, I think it's really great. And I think the back to Coach Morin too, as well, being named assistant, I think it's just such good, I don't know, publicity is not the right word, but visibility for our program as well with those younger recruits. I think that's just spot on. So,
I'm sorry, Kathy, I kind of cut you off.
You're fine. Go ahead. I was done.
Well, I was going to say, and for our fans who maybe haven't followed the program as long as you and I have, or a few of us have, if you're on, I see it quite a bit on Twitter, Amanda Cahill, former IU player, has played very well in her career in Europe. So the IU brand is building a little bit with a kid like Amanda Cahill, a young woman like Amanda Cahill, and now Alexa Golbay, and who knows who else in the future. So I think that, you know, and with us making strides in recruiting some of the European kids like Lex and like a Henna Sandvik that we're going to talk about a little bit later, those all bode well for us in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else on your mind, whether those headlines are just in general going on around the program?
It's really kind of interesting to continue to watch, I guess, more along the line of what's been happening in the college football scene a little bit with some of the NIL back and forth among especially Alabama and Texas A&M. And now you're starting to see some of this filtering down. What was it? Adidas just signed a 12 or 13-year-old to a golfer, I believe it was, to an NIL deal. And I know that seems like it's getting out of hand, but, you know, when you go down to 12 or 13, but heck, let's remember Tiger pretty much signed a multi-million dollar contract as soon as he could, before, he was 20 years old. But I think you're going to continue to kind of see more about this, and the NCAA, since last time we talked, actually has tried to pass a policy that basically says it can't be pay for play.
Right.
But
it didn't have much beef to it.
I don't think it's going to. I know that the AC guys talked about this a couple episodes ago, that if you go back and look at the court ruling, it's going to be hard unless they decide to let the players in the NCAA unionize. It's going to be very hard for them to kind of come to some type of a, where they can say, this is what you're allowed. Because, right. Other than just basically being a free agent and getting what you can get. So, and with that, so that to me was one of the big headlines, just that the NIL, and I know it's not specific to IU women, but it's such a roller coaster right now. And I think, if for the fans who missed it, go back and watch our episode that we had, and we talked about NIL and the Hoosier for Good project. That really, I think, will help you understand where this is going.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. All right. Well, what do you think? Should we dive into talking about our incoming freshmen?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. So let's start off with one of our international recruits. This is, hopefully I get all this correct, and I don't see Ari in the chat yet, but I'm sure he helped us with her name before. I think it's Yarden Garzon.
Yes, Yarden. Yeah.
Yarden, yes, exactly. So Yarden comes to us from Israel. She's a 6'2 point guard and a four-star recruit from the Premier Basketball Report, which is puts her as one of the top European players there. Before we get into the stats that I have anyway, do you want to just quickly talk about her, or do you want to talk about stats first? We haven't done one of these before, so
we'll really, we haven't talked about any of the recruits before per se. I mean, we've talked about some of the transfers that had some background. You know, we'd seen them play in high school or college, possibly, or both. You know, with Garzon, I just think that this is a kid that Seth Tao talked with us a little bit in a previous episode. And watching her on film, and I didn't get to see as much film on her. Everything I found on Google seemed to be pretty much the same clip. But she is a multifaceted kid and player who I think is going to bring a lot to the table. And I think watching and looking at some of her stats, and I'll wait to get into the stats a little bit, but having some national experience with the Israeli national team, this may be a kid that player that comes in and gets quite a bit of playing time right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. What I like to see on the video is exactly what you're talking about. She could distribute the ball. She was really played with her head up, but she could drive the ball as well too. And I believe she's including driving and playing through and finishing through contact. And I believe she's expected to be a pretty good shooter and rebounder for her guards. So those are a couple of the notes I had taken. And I was same as you. I found multiple clips, but it seemed to be the same ones. So that's what I could find as well. Anything else there, or do you want to talk about a little bit of her stats?
I just think that, you know, and this is one I think we'll talk about with Sandvik, that when you've played with a national team, or in this case, it was kind of like Lex, I see, especially with Garzon, is I see a kid, a player. I keep calling him a kid, but I'm showing my age here. A player who I think won't be in over her head against other 18, 19, 20 year old kids. She's played some club ball in Israel against, I would assume, older players. So, and I think that was one of the things that always impressed me about Lexa. And I'm not making the player comparison here. There are some I will compare, but she's one I'm not sure I could find a comparison for, at least on this team or a previous team. I may be a little bit, but more a little bit taller. But you talk about play through contact, a little bit maybe of an alley, but she's taller.
And yeah, 6'2". Yeah.
So I just think when you talk about kids who've played at that national level or have played a club scene like that, I just think that, you know, they're used to playing sometimes 23, 24, 25 year olds, and you're playing 18, 19 year olds. It's kind of like, it's kind of the way those of us who grew up playing in the park used to be, you know, when you played against 25 and 30 year old guys in the park in the summertime, playing some 16 year old wasn't scary. It was just part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, she played with the Israel national team, and on there, I did find that there were times when that Israel national team did play against current WNBA players, and she did fantastic when she was with them. She averaged around 19 points and 9 rebounds. So she definitely held her own. She also joined the Israel senior national team to help get them for the Eurobasket 2023 qualifiers, and that was in November 2021. And she started there against Latvia, and she scored 16 points and had another 4 rebounds. So,
but isn't that impressive that an 18, 19 year old kid was starting on their senior national team?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to point a couple of those things out.
Yes, I had those same things
on too. Yeah, cool. And what else do you have?
Well, the only thing I guess I shot that, and I was a little confused. Maybe you could clear up this a little bit, but it seemed like the stats that I had for her that I found for this year had her right around 12 and a half points a game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. But I liked her shooting number. She shot 49. I have had for 49.5%, 35% from beyond the three, 85% at the line. So again, like you said, I think a kid who can play through contact, but also is going to be able to shoot the ball fairly well.
Yeah, and my numbers are a little different, but I think they're a little dated because I put this together about a month or so ago. So, and that's the other thing I found is just the websites are very different. And I wasn't sure if I was looking at club numbers, if I was looking at her with the senior or the Israeli national team. So I was a little confused, but they're about, you know, for all intents and purposes for today, they're pretty much spot on to what you have.
Or were you looking at 21, 22 numbers or 2021? Right. Yeah, so I was kind of like you. I was like,
Yeah.
So, but I think this is the kid that, like I said, I agree with Seth. Watching the little bit of clip on film, looking at her numbers, I could see why he thought that she might have the opportunity to be the one person coming in the recruiting class who can get some major minutes. Because that's the other thing, I guess, we'll kind of talk along through here. These are kids who can probably play at most schools right away. But with the group that we have coming back, minutes are going to be hard to come by, at least under the way it's been. It's never been a deep rotation. If that changes, then everybody can be a little bit happier. But I think this is going to be a year for a lot of these kids to get a few minutes here and there. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of major minutes, except I really think Garzon is one that has that opportunity.
Yeah, that's how I felt about her as well, too, as a, you know, I was kind of doing a little bit of a deeper dive into the four incoming freshmen. And I think in part, too, is just her experience, too, as you were already pointing out, she's played against older players already. So her coming in and slotting into maybe not a starting role, but a major contributor role, I could definitely see. And the other thing I liked what I saw about her again is I thought she was more of a two-way guard. I thought she could play the point and really distribute the ball, but she could also, you know, drive the ball and be more of a shooting guard as well. So it felt like she maybe has some versatility to her game there too.
And let's say she does play a lot of minutes, whether she starts or not. And I'm not saying she's going to start. So before any of the workaholics goes, you get start jumping into the chat going, oh, you're saying she's going to start. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think she has a chance to play 15 to 20 minutes a night. But you start, I started thinking about this. If she does somehow work into the rotation where she's a starter at 6'1", 6'2", this lineup has the potential to be a pretty good size lineup when you look at, you figure Sydney Parrish and Scalia are going to be in that lineup along with Grace and Mac. You know, that's going to be as big a lineup as this team's had in a while.
Yeah.
If not ever.
And pulling up our official roster on IUHoosiers.com, she's now listed 6'3", so maybe she's grown.
And that's and or throw Chloe in there, and Chloe's not short. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Awesome. Cool. Anything on Yarden that you would like to talk about?
Just really excited to kind of see her in I doubt, I hate to say live, but just on some film like Big Ten Network, BTN Plus, something where I get a little better idea. The one film clip I had there was Israeli broadcast crew, and I wasn't speaking very well in Israeli, so
right.
But you know, it just, you could see the things you talked about, just the kind of different parts of the game she has.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on. We'll move on to our other international player then. It's Henna Sandvik. Henna comes to us from Helsinki, Finland. I had quite a bit of trouble finding anything on Henna. I know she's a 6-foot guard, and that's what she's listed as on our roster as well. And she played for the Finland senior national team. And she also played with the club, of course, over in Finland, which obviously is a big thing to do. I could not find her more recent stats. I could. 21 to 22. So in that point in time, it looked like she was averaging around 13 points a game.
That's what I had.
Me too. Okay. So I couldn't find any video of her. So maybe you had better luck. So is there anything on Henna that you could really find out?
A little bit of video. And I was able to find two or three different clips. I was able to watch. I snuck a peek at, I found some FIBA stuff that they had, European stuff. She, again, another kid that had gotten a little bit of a run with their senior national team this past season. She's played quite a bit with their age group kids, when she was U16, U18, and playing in European championships and such. And I didn't write down some of those stats, but her stats with her age group, Kathy, tended to be much more like the stats you saw for the season there. You know, in fact, I want to say some points in her age group, she was averaging a little closer to 15 and 16 a game and 5 to 6 rebounds a game, you know, and she's pretty much a starter with her age group. Now with the older group, the senior group, in one of those games, she started and played like 25 minutes. They only got to play 2 games. They were bounced out of the qualifier for the European championships pretty early, but that still speaks pretty well at an 18. I think she just turned 19 last week. She just turned 19, but still, that's pretty, again, another young player that has played, you know, in world competition or continental competition that I think is going to help her in the long run here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I'm not sure Ari's going to join us tonight. I hope he is, but yeah, I think he's, oh, there he is. I see him. I thought he was on vacation.
Yes, Ari was running some errands, so he's with us.
Yeah. I see now. But anyway, right. I just think when you talk about what I saw about Sandvik, little bit of everything there, not as big as Garzon, but as about 6 foot they were listing her as. Yeah. And I didn't see as much play through contact. I saw more of what I thought to be somebody who could knock down shots when she was open, but she did only shoot. I had her only for 43% from the field last year, 32% from three, and only 67% at the free throw line. So I think that's an area where she's got to get a little better. But what I did see on the video, and again, you're always going to look a little better in the highlight clip, that she has the potential to make shots. I'm just not sure she's done it consistently yet.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So, yep. Ari's caught up here with us in the chat. He said definitely probably the least likely of any of the four incoming freshmen to get any kind of significant playing time next year. Mm-hmm. So that's about what I could find out as well, or assumed as well, since I was having trouble kind of finding clips and whatnot on information on her. So I think we'll wait and see. I think she's probably more of a hopefully long-term development roadmap for her, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, all right, should we move on?
Yep.
All right, cool. Let's move on to Lexis Bargesser. Lexis is from Grass Lake, Michigan. She is a 5'9 point guard. When she was there, she actually helped lead her D3 team in 2021 to a state championship, where she averaged 23 points per game and 8 rebounds and 3 steals. So that's just a few of the things. She's also another 4-star. What do you have written down for Lexis?
Well, she's going to be an interesting one for me, Kathy. And I know she had a lot of ballyhoo when we were signing her, but she missed all of last season, save for 10 minutes. She tore her ACL in the very first game of their season last year. Now, she did come back and run track. This is a kid who, I think, if I read the article right, won the 100, the 200, and the 400 in the Michigan State track meet last year, and she was back running the 400 and I think maybe even run the 200. So, and according to her in the article, the IU coaches were okay with her running, that they thought that was all a good part of her rehab. But based on that, I would not be surprised if this is a kid that might not see some red shirt this might be a kid that gets some red shirt possibility, just because they may want to try and get her another year, right, where she, you know, get away from, again, there's going to be, a lot of these kids are going to be scrambling for playing time anyway, but now you bump her back maybe a year to where, right, she's going to have, you know, Grace will be graduated. And some of the others who will be going, you know, making decisions, you know, about whether they got play eligibility left or not. So, but when you look at Bargesser on, I'll keep it there. I just think that right now, to me, is the big question mark coming off the ACL.
Yeah, that I saw that too. I mean, before that, at least she was ranked fairly highly. She was ranked 48th by the collegiate girls bass report. All-Star Girls had her at 53rd and ESPN at 67th overall. And so when I saw some clips of her, obviously before her ACL as well, she looks like she's able to shoot three pretty well. She can finish around the rim. And what I liked is she finished on both sides with both hands. She seemed, again, another versatile player coming in. She really seemed to distribute. And every once in a while, I actually saw some clips of her on defense, which you don't always get that in these clips because, you know, everyone likes the offensive part. So I hope that's something that she's wanting to work on. And I believe if I read an article correctly, an interview, that's one of the things she actually was intrigued about improving her game, was coming into play for Coach Moore. And unless I'm getting her confused with our last incoming freshman.
You might be, but I didn't read all the articles, but I saw that
I read
same
so
thing.
Many of them today, and now they're starting to blur. I said it, and I'm like, oh no, I think that's the other gal. But regardless, I think she showed some signs of some good defensive potential too.
Kathy, what I saw, and I agree with you about the numbers, I think we saw the same stat line. They had her at 55% field goals, 41% from three. I didn't look at the free throw percentage, but I would assume it was pretty decent based on those types of numbers. The only thing I don't know about Michigan is what D3 is. Is that right? Second? Yeah, what level is that? And I'm not trying to minimize anything, but it's just sometimes it's a jump if you've been playing in lower level class like 1A here to into that Big Ten, which again nobody's expecting her to come in and dominate this year anyway. So getting her a year to be acclimated isn't necessarily going to be a bad thing. But what I saw in video, and I know this isn't the comparison people want to hear, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. But what I saw was a little bit, not at all, not complete. I'm not trying to put her in pressure, but she reminded me a little bit of Grace Berger, because a lot of the clip I saw was pull up game, whether it was going right or going left, or make a move and drive to the rim and play through some contact. There was a lot of Grace in that game, But the one thing I did question about Vargas there, and I don't know if you get a chance to watch it again, her shot comes down and almost about thigh high. She brings it down to get it up. So either that's going to have to be changed. But again, she shoots it pretty well, so I'd be hesitant to change it, but she's going to have to realize that's going to have to be a little bit quick. She's going to have to find out a way to get that off in the D1 game.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you hate to monkey with a shot of somebody who shot 55% as a junior. So,
and the reason I noticed it, I was watching her in one of the clips, one of her teammates shot and it was more, you know, from in here. And I was like, when it kind of, I was like, wait a minute, let's go back and watch that. And it was like every jump shot was that same down almost to about thigh high.
Right. Oh, that's pretty far. So, other than that, on stats I saw, she did actually, her junior year, average almost 4 steals per game. So again, back to, you know, we did see some clips, I think, with some defense in there. So she's also, of course, somebody we are probably not quite sure she'll slot into any significant minutes, especially coming off of a major injury. But anything else you'd like to talk about, Lexus?
Oh, I do think there's a bright future for her here in this this type of program with her skill set. I just don't know if it'll be her freshman year that we'll see it all on display.
Yeah, and especially with the transfers coming in and how deep, you know, some of the more veteran players before her, even if she plays next year and doesn't redshirt, I guess I'm not expecting a whole lot in terms of significant minutes.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to our fourth freshman, and that's Lily Meister. So Lily is from Rochester, Minnesota. She is a 6'2 forward, listed as a forward. And I have a whole long list of some things. She's very athletic. For example, I know she was an excellent volleyball player. One thing that really intrigued me about her in an interview is that she talked about how she really loved watching Alexa Goulbay play during the NCAA tournament and really wanted to fashion her game after Alexis. So I thought that was something that I think bodes well and kind of touches our hearts, right? So it was a fan favorite, and that's a good way, good person. If you're going to fashion your game after anyone, that's good. She was also reached 2,000 career points all the way back in January as well for her high school. So I thought, you know, she can definitely score.
Now, in fairness to, so our fans know this, that in Minnesota, you're allowed to play varsity basketball in the eighth grade, at least in the eighth grade, because I know she started playing with the varsity in the eighth grade.
Yes, where she only averages an eighth grader on varsity 9 points per game and 8 rebounds.
Yeah, exactly. Playing as seniors, but 9 points. But yeah, but you look at the last couple of years, Kathy, her stats, at least what I found, she averaged 22.6 as a junior, 22.3 this year. So she's been pretty consistent.
Right.
And 11, basically 11 rebounds both years.
Averaged a double-double both years. Yeah. She was also an 2022 All-Star this year as well. So quickly with a couple rankings, she was rated 87th in her class by Collegiate Girls and 86th by All-Star Girls. So,
And I didn't write down her ESPN ranking. I'm sure she had one, but I didn't get it.
I couldn't find it either, to be honest with you. I'm sure she had one, but I could not find it for some reason.
She's one, though, if you watch the video, you can see a lot of potential there. I think she's going to have to get a little stronger physically. Yeah. I would imagine I'll be one of the first things they do with her when they get her on campus. And I believe they hit campus next week. I believe that when I was talking with Grace for a couple of the episodes that she said the spring semester or the summer semester starts June 6th, I think. So I think that's when they're allowed to actually start with them. So I imagine I'll be one of the first things they do is really get her moving on the diet. And when I say diet, I don't mean about losing weight. Right. I'm talking about tailoring her diet to help her build strength and such. But she had good ball. She had good lateral movement. She showed she could go inside, outside. I just think that's where the strength is going to have to be a little bit better in terms of the ruggedness of the Big Ten. But again, with Mac back, with the and I've gone brain dead here today, tonight, but the girl from Providence coming in as a transfer, you're not going to have to necessarily rely on her for 20 minutes a night. But I will say that she mentioned that, and I thought it was one thing that she was intrigued by the article I read, that she, about her defense, that she knows to a certain degree, her defense has not been her strength. And her coach even told her that, your offense is what got you noticed. Defense is what's going to get you on the floor. And especially in this program, that's going to be your quickest route to the floor. But I will say, watching the several clips I saw of her, the player comparison I had was in 2 or 3 years, I could see an Alexa Goulbay type player.
I could too. By the way, Alyssa Geary, that's Geary. From Providence. Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
But if Geary, and if Geary hadn't transferred in, then Meister might have been one that would have had to get rushed a little bit quicker, unless you would move Yarden into more of a forward type role instead of the guard role. But I'm just saying, you know, but with Geary coming in, that that gives this coaching staff an opportunity to kind of put the puzzle pieces where they want to, rather than where they're forced to.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lily Meister is officially now listed on our roster as 6'3".
So he's also grown. And from Minnesota, and I can't recall too many of our players in the past being from Minnesota. And by the way, let's face it also,
We do have Sarah Scalia coming in as well.
Well, that's true. That's true. But let's be fair. Alexis Bargesser would have been an all-star in Michigan this year had she been healthy.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely. So yeah, Lily is definitely has all kinds of accolades her name. She made all conference team all 5 years that she played in high school, including in 2021 for sure. She was on the all state honorable mention team as well. So
yeah, I think she was a first team all stater this year in Minnesota.
Yep. Cool. All right. Anything else on the incoming freshmen?
No, just excited to watch them, actually see them get out on the floor this fall. But like I said, I think Yarden is probably the one kid that has a chance to play a lot of minutes this year, in my opinion. Yeah. Now, maybe one of the other three will surprise us, but I think based on what we've seen in the stats and a little bit of the clips, that she's the one kid I think we can all, you, our fans, the workaholics, can expect to see quite a bit of.
Yep, I agree. So. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to our next segment, which is kind of a little bit new for us. It's just a mailbag. So we did get a few questions submitted to us in our private community. So for those of you not there, you can still go out to Simply Call and find out how to join us there. We have lots of good content, not just about men's basketball, but we do women's basketball, football, there's baseball, soccer, all kinds of stuff. But Gary Crawford from the community asked, it's really more of a statement, but you don't know all of the roles, but might be fun to imagine some possibilities from what we know and what we hope for. So, Coach, you want to take that one first?
Was it roles?
Yes. He was talking about what some of the roles that we might have from the players.
I don't think a lot of the veterans are going to change. I think you're going to see Grace do Grace things. And we kind of had this discussion with Seth Tao a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago. I really believe you could see Grace at a point forward at times this year. And again, I think that depends a little bit on a Yarden. If she's getting minutes at the end of a game, would they trust Scalia with, or Sydney Parrish could be in that role too. I don't think you'll see a true point guard. I think that's the one thing we'll have to get used to with this group. I don't think there's not a Nikki Cardano Hillary that's going to be your point guard, or an Allie Patberg that you're going to say is the point guard and lead. I think it's going to be put the ball in the hands of the person you think can get things done and create things off just being basketball players. And that's where a Parrish, and I really think what we know Grace Berger can do really well. The other roles, I think, you know, Chloe would be one that I would really be excited to see how her game maybe it gets a little better this offseason, because if she can build on and take the next step from where she was at the end of the season, she really can provide a different level for this team of athleticism. But as far as Mac and the others, I we don't know enough about Geary right now as far as I haven't seen enough of her. But we know what Scalia can do, at least when she played us. And I think that, you know, you're really not going to see a lot of roles change. The one thing I'd be interested in, I guess, to answer Gary's question is, with a question is it going to be quite the same defensive mentality? Because one thing that that this group, at least coming back, they lost a little bit of that defensive with Allie and Nikki and Lex.
And Alexa, yeah.
Yeah, I should say, with those three, especially. But it may be an even better offensive group than it's been the last couple of years. So are you willing to give away some of the defense for that offensive firepower? That'll be an interesting question.
Yeah, I agree. I think after, you know, diving a little bit more into Yarden today, over the last couple of weeks or so, I'm really intrigued to see if maybe a more.
Kathy's frozen up on us. And so I'll try to.
Yeah.
You there?
I am. Okay. Yep. Am I still there? Yeah.
You're.
Okay. Sometimes my internet has been going out here the last couple of weeks, though.
You're fine. It's happened to me before.
Yep. Cool. So anyway, so to, I'm really intrigued now on Yarden coming in to see if she'll slot into any major contributor at maybe a point guard. So I agree. I think you definitely for sure know that Grace is going to be starting. If we're wondering about starters and McKenzie, and then after that, it just seems like you could have a whole host of players, and I just don't know enough about them to see who comes in and who doesn't. So into that starting role, but I think you definitely have the possibility. I think we can play a lot deeper than we did last year. So I think you'll see. I still feel that maybe as a role player, Chloe's probably going to still be coming off of the bench unless she makes a big leap this year. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think the transfers too are very interesting. I think Sydney Parrish for sure seems like she's going to slot into one of those starter roles, don't you?
Yeah. Her and Scalia both.
Yeah, I do too. I think Sarah Scalia with her shooting, I don't see how you don't start her and keep her off the floor that way. So side note, I know I texted you and Ari about this, but the Sydney Parrish, I have a side story about her. So last Friday, my husband and I biked to a brewery here in Des Moines. And as he was trying to find a seat out in their courtyard, he had an Indiana hat on. He walked by and the lady stopped him and said, my mom's cousin's is going to be playing, and it happened to be Sydney Parrish. So it was Sydney Parrish and Sydney Parrish's mom and her mom are actually cousins. So she was kind of like, oh, all right, so your cousin's with Sydney Parrish. She said, yeah. And I said, well, we're all very, very excited to have her. So just kind of random story about Sydney coming out of Des Moines. So you never know, small world. So anything else, just though, back to Gary's question on roles or anything you want to touch on there?
No, I think I covered as much as I can.
Yeah. So we see him on the court. I think it's in how they mesh together. That's what I'm most interested in, but you can try to slot people, I think, into the positions, but until you see how they play together, I think that really makes a big difference in what you see from them as well.
And then Quiet kind of gets the follow up here with the workaholics in the chat. I guess if I was going to say starters, you're going to go Mac, you're going to go Grace, you're going to go Sydney Parrish, Sarah Scalia. Then that fifth spot, I think, comes down to whether you want to play a little bit bigger with, and do you trust Grace or Sydney Parrish to kind of be that point forward? And therefore you go with a Geary. But if you don't, if you want to go a little more traditional point guard, then that might be a place where Yarden gets the chance to be, a start right away. But I think four out of the five is pretty much, in my opinion, right now on June 1st, is those four are locked in. Barring injuries, those four are locked in.
Yeah, I'm the exact same camp. And then in the same, similar question, not just about size, but on the flip side of that, maybe is also experience. Do you want the experience that that you can get with Alyssa Geary, or do you trust the freshman coming in? But she had that experience as well playing in those European leagues. Right. So again, might come down to how they mesh together. So,
and let's face it, it also, a lot of it will depend. The transfer is probably not as much, but the incoming freshman and the other, well, she knows what she's got in returns, like Chloe and Caitlin Peterson. But those, how quickly can they adapt to the defensive principles and the defensive fundamentals that Terry Moore wants?
Yeah. Yeah. And that might be an easier ask of somebody who maybe has some more college playing time than that might give the nod to Alyssa Geary. So we'll see. All right. Next question is from David Underwood. He asks, I'd love to know whether we ought to expect Mac to be back to her pre-injury self. Is there a medical track record for recovery from her ailments and procedure? So I guess to answer this question, basically, we don't really know officially what her exact injury was last year. What we can tell you is we're fairly certain that she'll be back to 100% by the time that the season starts. She was starting to get back there, I think, during the NCAA tournament, at least from our amateur eyes watching her play, but we have not heard anything out of Indiana since her injury and her coming back that would lead us to believe that she won't be back 100%.
Now, I would imagine she has been doing the individual workouts. I have no, to me, that was maybe an injury. Again, we don't know officially what it was, but it was some type of lower, leg injury, lower body injury, to use a hockey term. But she seemed to be getting better. When that gap between the end of the Big Ten tournament and kind of that first round of the NCAA tournament really seemed to help her kind of get back, her stamina and some of the other things. I thought she played pretty well those last couple of games of the NCAA tournament. But I think you'll see Mac. I think the one thing you talk about roles kind of combine this. Will Mac be a little more outside, as we saw a little bit last year? Will she continue to look more for that three shot to kind of open up the offense a little bit more?
Yeah, that's another intriguing storyline. We'll have to see how it plays out. Okay, our last question was from Quang, and I'm going to assume Quang was being a smart aleck, but I will read it anyway.
Can we just dub it the smart aleck question of the week or whatever?
We can. Looking at the roster, did we get a transfer this year? And the reason I think he's being a smart aleck is I know he joined us when we covered off of the transfers. So, yes, we did get one or two transfers this year. So just to kind of recap, we did have Sydney Parrish, who we already mentioned. And again, for those of you, if you did miss our episode, you can go back. We dove into all of these transfers on a few episodes ago. You can find them out on YouTube. But Sydney Parrish used to be Indiana Miss Basketball. She went to Oregon and is transferring in. Sarah Scalia comes to us by way of Minnesota. And then we have Alyssa Geary, who is coming to us from Providence. So those are the three transfers coming in.
Yeah. And things such as that. So and again, I think that in this day and age, you have to have, to answer Quang's question, I know we answered it before. You've got to be active in the portal. You may lose some. If you don't, great. But I think, you know, to replace somebody like Lex and Nikki this year, you had to kind of rely on the portal because you weren't sure when you were going through the recruiting process of the high school kids, if they were going to come back or not. Maybe, and maybe Terry Moore knew all along, maybe Lex and Nikki had went to her all the way back in November and were like, coach, we're done. This is it. We're not coming back. And maybe she knew that and didn't tell anybody, and that's fine. But I think that made it a little hard sometimes to go out and recruit, not knowing exactly how many spots you were going to have open on the roster.
Yeah. And you know, now that we've gotten our full roster, we can lay it out. That's, to me, I think the biggest offseason storyline that I'll be curious to answer when this season rolls around is how the team comes together. Mm-hmm. Because we've laid it out. We've got three transfers and four freshmen. That's half our team. Seven people on the team are brand new to the program. Maybe not brand new to college basketball, but they were still brand new to the program and playing with each other. I think that's really going to be an interesting and intriguing storyline as we go through the year. And I really would assume and guess we're going to have some games where you're like, oh gosh, I would have expected us to win that, or I would have expected us to maybe handle that game a little more easily, in part because I think it's going to take them a while to kind of get their groove together. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's a lot to that, but I think it also, this will come down to your leadership now. This is going to come down to Grace Berger and Mackenzie Holmes, especially as the two players with the most experience, the most time on the floor, and who know what Terry Moore expects out of the kids in the program. And they're going to have to really kind of take it, you know, and that's why I think this summer, though, you know, they're going to be playing a lot of basketball. I mean, they can only officially be with the coaches like 1 hour a day or 1 hour every, they get so many days. It's like 1 hour a day and like 3 days a week, something like that. Grace explained it to me on one of the episodes, but lost my train of thought. But they're going to play a ton of basketball, just open gym type settings and things like that. And you can learn a lot about each other, but I think that's where Grace and Mac especially have to kind of be like, this is the way we do it here.
Yeah, I agree. So that was technically all that was on our agenda for today, Jeff, but is there anything else that you want to talk about while we're here together?
Well, you mentioned the banner moment about Allie Patberg being, I hate to say promoted, but hired to be our direct, you know, into the position as recruiting coordinator and stuff. And I think that's a great move. I think having Allie, a former player on the staff, and who between herself, her dad, and her who was, you know, who was one of her AAU coaches, and her high school coach, Pat McKee, she's going to have an instant, I shouldn't make it sound like she's going to be getting anybody she wants, but she's going to have a way to get into the doors of a lot of the high school coaches in Indiana. They know those, especially Pat has been very prominent in the coaches association in the state. So I'm sure she's going to make some inroads with the coaches in the state. But right now we still have a third assistant. We lost our third assistant. Ashley went back to North Carolina State where she had played. And so that spot is still open as far as I know. And I know Ari and I kind of went back and forth on texting a couple of weeks ago. They haven't filled it yet. And I know people got upset this past winter, but until I see it differently, I still believe that eventually you'll see a former IU player in that third spot. And I think we all can kind of figure out who that might be.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a couple months ago, you called some coaching changes then on the men's side of basketball as well, that were going to happen, not with the Indiana program, but and at a couple other schools that ended up happening. So, you know, I'll take that bet with you, Jeff. So.
I was a little bit wrong on the Indiana men. I had made the comment. I thought Randy Whitman would be that person that might fill a role, and it ended up being Jordan Halls. But
you had three predictions, and I think you had two of the three right. So I'll take those. Two out of three ain't bad, Jeff. That's what I hear.
Yeah, and everybody thought I was nuts when I said Thad Mata was going to Butler.
You nailed it.
And for people are like, I'm not trying to be coy. I just honestly think that it might be time for Tyra Buss to come back to IU and be an assistant. It may not happen, but I like that idea of former players. When you're starting to develop a program like Terry Morin is, I think there's a value in having former players on your staff. You saw Mike Krzyzewski do it at Duke a lot. Mm-hmm. John Wooden did it at UCLA. Bob Knight did it at different times. Yep. I just think that when you start having a successful program, that's an indicator that you're really starting to build the culture of that program, because you start having people who can, you know, because sometimes you're looking at the head coach, the kids, you know, I know from when I was a head coach, sometimes they'll start to tune you out a little bit when you're the one always chirping in their ear. But when you've had somebody play for you who can go to them and go, hey, just – she's telling you the right thing. Don't get worked up. I just think that Tyra is going to, I will not be shocked if Tyra Buss is that third assistant.
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing there, of course, is obviously she's engaged to Brad.
Right.
So, you know, does she want to stay in Wisconsin where she's at now, or go wherever he goes, or come back to Indiana? It seems like she has a lot of potential options there. So that's the other thing that we'll be keeping an eye on as well. But I think our roster's set. I think we'll try to have a few more shows here, obviously, as the summer keeps progressing. Jeff and I have been talking about our scheduling.
Puppy's whining, so if you people
I hear know. That. Yeah, that's good. How old is your puppy now?
6 months.
6 months. Oh, fun. So,
sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. I get distracted easily. So, all right. So I think we've covered it off today. We've got everyone caught up on headlines. We've gone into our incoming freshmen. We've answered some questions. So I think that's going to wrap us up. Jeff and I, as I mentioned, are talking about trying to do a show potentially next week. We're still trying to figure out schedules and content, but keep an eye out there on Twitter or again, our private community, and we'll make sure to post once we have that solidified. But until then, good luck, everyone. Hey.
Oh. Real quick, before we sign off, okay, I want to remind everybody, just so we make sure we cross brand, AC Radio tomorrow night, I believe, is scheduled for 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, so AC Radio will be on tomorrow night.
Yes, I believe they're still on, but again, in the summer, sometimes they take a week off, so last thought they were on again. So, okay, cool. Well, with that, let's go, everybody. excuse me. Oh, my goodness. So, all right, so... until then, keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers. So, yay.
See you, everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.